It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. More than 45 years after her cousin was killed in a car bombing in Milwaukee, journalist Mary Spicuzza examines the unsolved murder of her family member they called Augie and the effects of organized crime on Milwaukee through generations. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary Spicuzza is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mary, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you start by sharing a little about your cousin's life? Who was Augie Palmisano?
Sure. So he was a tavern owner and a fruit vendor on what was known as Commission Row in the Third Ward. That was a stretch of Broadway that now has a lot of upscale restaurants and boutiques and things like that. But at the time, it was really a working class Sicilian, primarily Sicilian and Italian neighborhood that was packed with a lot of fruit vendors and some bars like Augie's. He also got involved in gambling and bookmaking and got into some trouble with the law through that, but also caught the attention of organized crime that wanted a cut of those profits.
He died from a car bombing in 1978. Why decide decades later to investigate his murder?
I wondered that many times myself. I think for a long time, there was just a lot of silence and fear and shame around organized crime, and fear that it was just something we didn't talk about. And from a very young age, it clearly really troubled my father, but he didn't want to talk about it. So he would just say things like, don't fall in with the wrong crowd. You know what happened to Cousin Augie. Don't gamble. Look what happened to Cousin Augie. And as a young child, I had no idea what had happened to Cousin Augie. I just knew it was something bad and something that I wasn't supposed to ask about or talk about. So I only found out quite a long time later what had actually happened to him, which was a really brutal bombing at an apartment complex on like the northern edge of downtown Milwaukee that really could have done far more damage to the city if it had not been in an underground parking garage. And it was just something that I had always really bothered me, and something that was just this huge traumatic event that there was just a lot of silence around.
As I was reading your pieces, you know, news coverage, it's often described as the first draft of history. And I just wonder, what did you learn from looking through the paper archives and the coverage in the aftermath of that deadly explosion in 1978?
A few things. I thought, you know, obviously, I relied heavily on the work of some of the folks who used to work at the Milwaukee Journal and the Milwaukee Sentinel, most notably investigative reporter Mary Zahn, and some of my colleagues from years past who did phenomenal work. I will say, I think it made me reflect a lot on the way we cover homicide victims. And there were some unnamed police officials quoted shortly after his murder saying he was a substantial figure in organized crime and things like that. And it made me think about, gosh, what do I say about a homicide victim, especially in the aftermath of a murder? And made me really reflect on trying to make sure I'm not doing any victim blaming or making it sound like this was someone who was murdered who had it coming. So I thought a lot about that and kind of reflected on my own coverage. I think the first draft was very thorough, but I do think that there were some sources who, you know, kind of had something to gain from portraying my cousin in a certain way and leaked that information or shared that information to reporters. And I think it's always good to think about what people's agenda are when they're, you know, sharing information. Not that it's bad to be an anonymous source. I use them all the time, clearly, but it's just made me think about some things differently.
You still had anonymous sources in this story generations later, generations removed from this. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I did talk to some people who said, "Well, I think I'd be pretty safe talking to you, but I do have to think about the safety of my kids and my grandkids." And honestly, I didn't judge them at all. I get it. I think many of us grew up with just this fear and silence and fear that you don't want to be next. And quite a few people said the bombing was to send a message, and to send a message that you don't talk about organized crime, you don't stand up to somebody who's seen as a boss. And I think I don't blame people for being afraid. Who would want that to happen to somebody in their family or themselves?
How active is organized crime in Milwaukee today?
That is also a good question. I think the case against Frank Balistrieri really did kneecap or really severely curtail organized crime here. I think that things like the RICO statutes and these FBI agents that I interviewed who really called it a full court press after Augie was killed, where they were really digging in, the police were digging in. I think it has been extremely curtailed, but I would never say that organized crime is gone. And it's clearly not only the vast majority of Sicilians are not involved in organized crime, and it is certainly not only among Sicilians or Italian Americans. So I think that there's still crime and organized crime out there. But I also didn't want to be too afraid to talk about it.
Mary Spicuzza is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Her latest probe examining organized crime in Milwaukee through the lens of the unsolved murder of her cousin Augie in a 1978 car bombing in Milwaukee. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A series of reports by Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative journalist Mary Spicuzza. It puts a spotlight on the Milwaukee Mafia and the personal connection to examining organized crime in her hometown. Her cousin Augie was murdered in an unsolved car bombing over 45 years ago. Call in with a question. Share your insights. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mary, you mentioned Frank Balistrieri. While examining the murder of your cousin, can you explain Frank and what you have been learning about the presence of the mafia in Milwaukee?
Sure. So Frank Balistrieri was involved in a lot of different businesses, whether his name was on the license or not. He had nightclubs, bars, restaurants, dinner theater, also involved in some boxing and concert promotions. And he was, not that they put out a press release when he was picked as this, but he was the head or considered the boss of organized crime in Milwaukee for decades, really. And he was involved as far back from the FBI reports that I could see as the 1950s, even stretching back to the 1940s, but really was seen as the boss starting in the early 60s and stretching until he was sent to prison in the 1980s. And there was a huge case, or I think they called it the World Series of Trials here, where a prosecutor named John Franke prosecuted him and some of his associates for gambling, for extortion. And then he was sent to Kansas City for a massive trial about casino skimming. And that was something that he was also deeply involved in. And at a certain point when he was in charge, the FBI documents detailed how he and others decided that anyone who was doing gambling or bookmaking, including some who just owned restaurants, but he wanted people to pay a cut of their profits to him, sometimes a very substantial cut. and sent out people who were known as his enforcers, according to all these FBI documents, to collect for him. And it was pretty well understood that you were supposed to pay a cut of those profits to him or you would be in trouble.
Did Frank Balistrieri have anything to do with Augie's murder?
That is the widely held belief, is that the my cousin's murder was carried out on the orders of Frank Balistrieri for a variety of reasons, and some of the reasons detailed in the FBI reports and some of the comments made to police officers at the time were that Frank said to an undercover FBI agent at Snugs that my cousin was arrogant. He said he called him a name to his face, and then he added, "And now they can't find his skin," which is just a really chilling thing. I can't imagine ever saying that about somebody, and it's really a disturbing thing to see said about a relative or anyone. It's also believed that Augie refused to kind of kowtow to Frank Balistrieri and pay a cut of his gambling taxes or gambling proceeds. There was also bad blood from them dating back to a marriage of a relatives, and some of the FBI documents went into that too. At one point, there was an argument between them, and Frank was overheard threatening Augie and saying that he was going to, I believe the quote was, chop him up and write his name in blood, which again is just a horrifying thing to say to anyone.
Then there was this bomb, this extremely deadly, forceful bomb that went off in the parking garage of this apartment building. What is known about how it was built, how it came to be? Was there an investigation into that?
Some of the FBI agents and the retired bomb squad detective who I spoke to talked about overkill bombs. And the idea of an overkill bomb is to create a force, like a forceful blast that is so powerful, it really destroys any and all evidence that could be left behind, is certain to kill the victim. And also, people talked about wanting to send a message, and a bomb that would send a message to others of basically do as you're told, or you will end up like this. So it was an extremely forceful bomb that not only essentially destroyed the entire front half of my cousin's car and killed him, it also damaged 28 cars around him in the parking garage, underground parking garage. But some of the investigators I talked to said that had the bomb not gone off right away, if it had been out in the open, if he was driving down the street in downtown Milwaukee, that the damage could have extended several city blocks, which is again just a terrifying thing that to think that that could have happened right in, my hometown and our city.
You examine the history of the Third Ward in Milwaukee. How different is that neighborhood today from the 1970s?
It's so different. I don't know that my grandparents or great uncles and aunts, or even some of my older uncles and aunts, would have recognized it. It was, really working class. A lot of people like Augie, my grandfather, some of my great uncles would be up at, 2 a.m., 4 a.m. Often the produce deliveries would come in at 4 a.m. They'd check it out, get ready to do their wholesale. And it was almost like a 24/7 operation of fruit and other produce coming and going. It used to be a working class community where a lot of first the Irish, then predominantly Italian and Sicilian moved when they came here. That's where my grandparents lived when they came here from Sicily. It was not what it is now. Now it's, obviously a beautiful neighborhood, lots of galleries, boutiques, restaurants, much more upscale than it was. Obviously, there was a church. It was nicknamed the Little Pink Church, Blessed Virgin of Pompeii, which a lot of the old timers talk about as what was like the heart and soul of the Italian and Sicilian community that was destroyed and demolished for the freeway, back in the 1960s. But I wish I could go back and see what it was like because I've only heard stories.
We have Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigative reporter Mary Spicuzza with us. Mary, are you at peace with what you were able to uncover about Augie?
Yes and no. I think it was encouraging to hear. I'm still hearing from readers or people who knew Augie, what just tales of some of his kindness and some of the things that he did for members of the community. That's been really encouraging. I think I was a little afraid of what I might find. I kept asking, you know, different FBI agents and investigators. He wasn't violent, right? Did he hurt anybody? Did he kill anybody? You just want to make sure that you know, because I, as a reporter, I have to be transparent and report what I find. So in a lot of ways, I felt very relieved and feel very at peace of just hearing stories about his kindness and some of the things that he would do to help people. I think I would still love to get more answers about what had happened, and we're hoping to do a podcast and do some follow-up reporting. So some answers are still coming in, but I do feel at peace that in some way I feel like I hope my parents and Augie are in heaven, and I hope that they're proud of that I was able to set the record straight a bit on who Augie was and who he wasn't.
And really quickly here, you do then have a forthcoming podcast on your reporting about Augie and organized crime in Milwaukee?
Hopefully,
yeah. Well, we'll leave it on those words. Mary, thank you for joining us and for sharing this really difficult story for you.
Thanks so much.
Mary Spicuzza is an investigative reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.